May God's word only be spoken and God's word only be heard. Please be seated. Our parable today from Luke's gospel is about the purpose of money. It's one of the most difficult passages to interpret. And speaking as a preacher, it's one of the most difficult to convey properly. Because dishonesty and incompetence, it seems like it's rewarded. Jesus talks about dishonest wealth when he says, dishonest wealth, and you know what that is? That's profits from interest, loaning money and charging interest. Jews were forbidden to lend money with interest, but they got around this by lending commodities like oil, corn, and wheat, and charging interest. Now, oil can be deleted, so the interest on oil was 100%. Wheat, maybe 20%. So this rich man, through his steward, was charging his neighbors with interest. And this type of interest was illegal interest. It was the dishonest wealth that Jesus referred to. But when the steward finds out he's getting ready to be fired, he has an idea. He tells everyone that owed the rich man money to just pay back what you owe. Forget about the interest. Through this conniving or disloyalty to his master, this steward was gaining friends and references for his resume because he knew he was going to be unemployed. Sounds kind of wise to me. And this steward's shrewdness also makes the master look pious. He looks like a good man. And Jesus suggests that we act with the same kind of foresight and use our money for what lasts, not for what is fleetingly spent. And we all know we can't put our security or put all of our eggs in one basket, and that basket being money. Because after all, there's scams, there's market fluctuations, the worth of bank accounts, bonds, stocks, real estate, and even gold have fluctuated. Do you remember or have you read about the crash of 1929? The oil crisis in the 70s, the real estate crisis of 2008, and these are just a few of the more recent examples. Again, have you read about individuals in the 1960s building a bomb shelter? That's an example of another uncertainty with the world. You didn't know whether it was going to be nuclear war at the drop of a hat. And living in North Dakota, they're not coming from the west or the east. They're coming over the North Pole, right on top of us. That's what the thinking was at that time. And you didn't know who was going to be pushing the button either. So, we can't put our trust in stuff. We can't put our loyalty in things. Money is meant to be a blessing. It's used to bless us, our families, our neighbors, and the world. Having been blessed with having enough in this world, growing up, I can't believe I'm going to tell you this, but I think that things had become too important to me at times. Money was made to live, to make my life better. Money was meant to serve me. And likely, money was to make your life better, to serve you, not that we were made to serve money. Things serve people, not people things. You've heard me preach about my grandfather before. Well, he made many impressions on me. In the years I knew him, he was a consistent churchgoer. He wasn't wealthy, but he got along with what he had. And he was known to give large sums to his church and to a lesser amount to his grandchildren. But I was happy for every penny. And I often heard about my grandfather's generosity. Someone he had helped out would say, "Thank you." And I would look at my grandfather, and he would look at me and say, "Hal, I'm nothing special. I'm the most selfish person on this earth." That always took me aback when he said that. Of course, I forgot what he said last time, but he would say, "Hal, I'm the most selfish person on earth. I want to see the smile on their faces while I'm living, not try to remember it when I'm dead and gone." I know about my hang-ups with money. Do you know about your issues with money? Do you get nervous when the preacher or somebody else talks about you need to give 10% to the church first and then everything else? Well, I do, and I'm preaching it sometimes. But I care about the money and how my money is spent and who spends it for what. That's why later this fall, we're going to have a stewardship campaign about how we can use all of the gifts that we had better. And we'll come up with a budget to try to project what our expenses may be for this next year. And hopefully, we will be returning an investment to God that God has blessed us with. And I can't get away without saying a steady and adequate income is a great plus in life. But it's not the one thing. It's not the thing with the highest priority. Money is a foreign currency to people who have their allegiance and citizenship in heaven. The real question for you today, and to me, is do we own our money, or does our money own us? Amen.